Just remain standing if you'd like to follow along in your Bible reading. Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4, and Matthew 24, verse 6. We'll read the same scriptures we read this morning. It's good to see all of you out for the services. Pray one for another. Revelation 6, verse 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Now let's go back to Matthew 24, because if you remember, Brother Branham says in Revelation 6, and over there in Revelation 6, he said that's the seal there, and the breaking of it and things, you know, would be in our day, and that's the seal and showing the breaking. But over in Matthew 24, he said this is where Jesus speaks of it. See, the actual speaking of the seal is here, and you have to catch this part of it to understand. Now watch, over there you got a red horse and a rider, and you got a killings, you know, all kind of things happen. Now watch under this one. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See, killings. Now here's what I like. This is something over here that you don't find necessarily reading under the second seal in Revelation 6. But look what he said. See that ye be not troubled. Now what's the first seal say? In that fourth verse, right before he started into the fifth, where you would talk about the Christ coming, the false Christ. Now, what did it say? Take heed that no man deceive you. As I said this morning, see, they asked him them questions, and the first thing he said, take heed no man deceive you, as he began to answer the question. Now, on this seal, the second seal being the sixth verse, and that's the way the prophet give it, if you want to read it on page 412 of the seal book, that's the way he give it, and he says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Amen. Father, we ask you that you'd bless your word now. Come among us with your spirit. We feel you're already here. We know you will keep your word because we can trust in you. And Lord, just have your will and way in our hearts and lives. Bless those that are not with us tonight. You know the reasons. There's many of them, Lord, that have many different reasons. But yet, we know that thy word is true. And all reasons are just vanities, and we'll be taken care of. We ask you to guide us as we speak, because we know this is a subject that the people needs to understand, because we believe you're dealing with us to speak it this way. Guide us now. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. See, now just keep that in mind of what I said there. That as Jesus began to talk to him, he said, now take heed that no man deceive you. All right, now what was the very first thing the first seal showed? Antichrist's spirit deceiving the people. Second seal, see, he picks it up and he says, now see that you be not troubled. See, giving a caution to the people. See that you be not troubled. In other words, the end ain't there. But just don't be troubled with it. See, in that, then you can pick up what Jesus was saying in Matthew 24 is the opening of the seal that you find in Revelation 6. Because see, it's Brother Brown says, here's where it spoke. And he said, over here is where the seal's at. And he said, then in our day is when it's revealed. Well, see, we read Matthew 24. When we was in the Baptist, we didn't know that was six of the seals in that Matthew 24, did we? There's never been a denomination or anything knew that there was six seals contained in Matthew 24. Because, see, that was a secret that the prophet, when speaking of it, said it had to be in the Word. Well, it had to be there then. So then he took Matthew 24 and gave a verse-by-verse description of the seals that he was taken over in Revelation 6, and he does it on page 412 of your seal book. If you want to study it when you get home, get that and read it. He shows it. Also, you'll find it on the about the second seal when he starts talking about to, right at the beginning of it. He starts talking about it, and he talks about Matthew 24. So he knew then that the seals was there in Matthew 24. He knew the opening of it was, but he waited until the sixth seal, and then when he did, he picked it up, went back. He said, instead of just going through and talking like I've been on it and things, said, I want to take this and see to show you where it's at in Scripture. So he took that and showed it. But now, we saw from our studies, and I hope you understood this morning, reviewing and just, because I want you to get it. There's no need of us. See, we could just say, and have a good time. I can preach messages. Any preacher can. I can preach healing and just preach on that and preach the great build-up things about it. And there'll be healings all over the place. We could fill this building up with people probably if we just start preaching about divine healing and just bringing it through the Scriptures and always building you up and keeping you entertained or give you a job to do at the church and something to do and assign everybody something and get them to work, and first thing you know, the building would start being full. You'd say, well, if you could do that, we ought to do that then. Well, now, where would the rapture be then? I mean, that's what they've done all the way down through the ages. That would just be a return of Pentecost or something. We're talking about a rapture, and it'll take the word for that rapture. Nobody, no age, no time has ever had to face what we're facing now. It's either the rapture for us shortly or the tribulation period. We've got our choice. See, it's one of the two for us. We've got a choice. We can accept one. We'll have to turn down the other. And that's what we tried this morning to see off of that. See, seeing that seal showed an end of that false prophet because it showed him destroyed because he's cast into the lake of fire. And it shows him then being destroyed there. That shows him come to an end. See, that shows that part. What it started off short, showed it coming to an end. Now, what we want to look at now is we want to look at something that's carries on up into the redemption side. But now let's for a minute just watch now. We see the false prophet destroyed by the word. That's what destroys it. See, the word from the mouth destroys the false prophet. That's what casts him into the lake of fire. Not that God just grabs him up, you know, by the nape of the neck and seat in the breeches, old saying goes and casts him over there. The prophet preached a message one time, cast out the bondwoman, you know, and showing it there from the Scriptures that Paul, I believe, was writing about it, said, cast out the bondwoman, she won't be ire with the free, speaking of Hagar and Sarah back over there. Well, now, in that point, they literally cast out Hagar. But what we find about 6 months or a year or so ago here talking about, maybe a couple of years ago, it's been a while back, I know, talking about how that we are the ones that cast out the bondwoman. The prophet said there'd come a time that the sinner couldn't sit in the congregation of the righteous. Well, see, it's because the bride becomes the word, and that cast out the bondwoman. It's like I told you, the sheep and goats be separated for the rapture. Maybe all our sheep are going and leaving us goats, but one way or the other, the sheep and goats are separated for the rapture. See, maybe the bondwoman, maybe we're the bondwoman, and the rest is left. You know, that's the free woman. Well, see, that's not our problem. Our problem is to see where we are in the Word. Face it ourselves, and not worry about what somebody else is. See, that's their own problem. But now, let's watch the mystery of redemption. Now, basically, what you would hear, and I'm just telling you the honest truth, and you'll know it's the truth when I finish, especially some of these brothers like Brother Smars that's traveled around and you know, been places around the country. The basic thing that you would hear of teaching, I'll say, the second seal, they would preach about the false prophet. and the incarnate spirit, you know. False prophet. And then when they got through, they'd say, there, you see that opening of that seal? We see the first seal shows you the Antichrist. And him riding out, that's the white horse rider. And said, second stage, we see it's the Pope over there. Well, now, where's the mystery of redemption? I didn't know we was redeemed because we knew the Antichrist. The white horse rider was the Antichrist. I didn't know that was a mystery of redemption. That was a mystery that is contained in the Word that was to be revealed in the last days. See, that's a mystery. But the seals are the mystery of redemption. Well, now, where is your redemption side of the seal then? Something to redeem me and you. See, where's that at under that seal? Then you surely wouldn't find it as just being the Pope, you know. It wouldn't be just finding out that the Catholic Church is the denominational systems of the Catholic Church and all the Protestants together are all mixed up with it and they're all going to the World Council of Churches. That's not redemption. Redemption is something that will stop you from going to the World Council of Churches and joining up with them. So you'd say, well, finding out what they are, that'd stop me from going. Well, that might be true. But I can put a stop sign out here, or his brother Mode always used to refer to, that you can take a pig and you can build a fence around him, you know. You can put him out there and you can keep him out of the mud hole. You can put a fence out of him and stop him from going to it. But that hasn't changed him. That just kept him out of the mud hole. You take the fence down, what happens? Anybody knows a pig loves to waller in the mud and the mar and all, don't he? You take the fence down, what happens? The pig just goes into the mud. But now, if you took the nature out of that pig, I guess that fly's flying around. I don't like them either, and they don't like me. So let him just have his fun. We'll have ours, okay? That mystery, we might have to stop and kill the fly. That might be the mystery. Well, good, if it's yellow jacket, and he can't do nothing but sting one time. I can put up with him better than a can of fly. If he just stings me and goes on, then I can put up with a yellow jacket, but I can't stand a fly. I always said I'd have a talk with Moses when I got there to see why he couldn't spoke something else into existence besides flies. You know, because I can't stand them things. One fly worried me to death. But just think now. The mystery of redemption is not to see the Antichrist, not to see the Pope, not to understand the World Council of Churches, not to see that the church system is wrong. That's not redemption. That's just truth that comes out. Redemption is something that deals with me and you, that saves us. Then that's the part of the redemption that we want to get into tonight, see, and pick up like we did under the first seal. We picked up the first seal and we carried it all the way through and saw an end to the Antichrist, you know, as he went through the stages. Then we saw that we were showed there as having iniquity, and then we saw that the revealed Word takes care of that iniquity. Now what we want to pick up is to see from this seal what we can understand in redemption. We saw, now what? What was the last thing? We'll just read it from 2:22. I think I just quoted it this morning. But watch what the prophet says on 2:22 on the seal book now as he gets down to it. You remember on the first seal how that we saw that he covered just a long time on the seal, you know, and when he got through, he said, now we spoke enough about him. He said, now let's get down to the real thing about Jesus Christ, see, and showed how he would bring forth his word and rise. Now watch, he said, rise in power. That's right at the end of it. Let's see if we can pick it up and read it. Some of you maybe never noticed it. That's good. He got a good sting. Now he'll quit it. Watch now. Page 174, and this will be 175. Now watch, at the same time that this guy is conquering, then I'll close, God is going to do something then too. Let's not just talk, let's not just give Satan all the credit here. Let's not talk about him altogether. Now watch what he says. While this great thing is going on out there, in the system of it, he said, let's watch this now. And don't just give him the credit all the time. And then what does he say now? You remember when we was reading it the other night? What does he say the mystery there is? Or one of the things. Now, notice in the same time this is going on, this is 175, just before this takes place on the earth, in other words, just before the man of sin comes in, God has promised, while all them scruples of denominations are arguing their differences about their creed, God promised that he would send us a true prophet of the true word with a message to return to the original word of God and the faith of the fathers to bring down the power of the Holy Ghost among the people, and that power that will raise her above these things and take her in. Now, he spent all that time on that seal speaking of the Antichrist, and then come down to that part to speak of Jesus Christ. See how he would raise in power and that he would send down a prophet. Now watch him as he gets over into the second seal and comes down to an ending of the second seal, that as he had spoke of how that all the things would happen of the Pope and the incarnate spirit and all, how it would come on down and how the political powers and the spirit, the religious powers would come together of the two spirits, the two powers, the ecclesiastical and the civil, and how that it would come right on down. Watch him again now. As the impostors against the word of God, and because they wouldn't agree in this thing, Satan united the political power which he held and the spiritual powers which he held together, and made a church that sweeps into every nation. And he put millions times millions. After he had jumped off from his white horse unto his red horse, and he took his sword and went forth, but God said with the same thing that he perverted, or tried to, the false teaching, that same word will rise in power, coming forth from the lips of Jesus Christ, and it shall slay him and everything before him. Amen. There is the second seal. Do you love him? Oh my, that is thus saith the Lord. Now, when he comes to the end of the first seal, he showed, because he had to show all about the Antichrist, but then he showed the word would rise in power through a prophet that would be brought. And it would bring down that power. And that's what we saw, how that it would take that message then to cleanse what iniquity we saw we had. Now we're standing on the same basis that when he comes down to the end of what he's bringing out of the Antichrist, he brings out that there would be a word rise in power to destroy that one that had took the word and perverted it. See, then we still got the same basis that we're holding on to. Because now, if the word's going to rise in power, then think about it now. This seal then will have to reveal unto us the rising of that word. And you see where I'm placing my basis? Like the first seal revealed that the prophet messenger would be sent, and they would be a restoration of the word, and with the restoration of the word would come the restoration of power to do away with our iniquity. Now, we found this morning that the second stage of the Antichrist revealed that he had become incarnate, the Antichrist spirit, in a false prophet. And then that incarnate false prophet standing there, we could see that me and you then, we had iniquity. We started with little deeds where we was born wrong. And then we come down to a place that we had a doctrine because of that. We saw that Cain started off just little things, see, working. Maybe he talked with Abel and little things talking backwards and forth, and they talked of their thoughts of God, I'm sure, because they were grown men offering sacrifices. But then when it come down to it, the doctrine that Cain had. See, because of something back in there behind causing that, and the Bible said, you know, running the gainsaying the cores and the ways of Balaam and like Cain, you know. Right, then you would fall that way. Because your doctrine, Cain's doctrine, is what killed Abel. Well, now we see that we're not only a product of iniquity. You know, standing here, but also we took his doctrine. You don't realize what that means maybe to you, especially to your younger ones. But we took, now watch, we took a doctrine that was contrary to the Word. And from our very childhood, all the way down, we were taught those little things. Until it come out to where we're at now. What would it have been if there hadn't have been a fall of the way of the church? Brother Branham said it like this, speaking to the Pentecostals on Azusa Street. He said if they'd have just stayed with where they were and what it was, he said they wouldn't maybe been but a 50 of them or something, but he said they would have been a powerful church standing there. That's talking about Azusa Street Pentecostal people. But you just think, what would have happened now? What would happen in the natural? I mean, maybe I can get it over with an example to you. You take a child that's born, say, to Brother Collie and Ruth. They're both Americans. They've been here, and maybe in their ancestral background might have been some people that spoke African. But in their generations and things, they've been taught the English language, and they speak what we call the American language, you know, say it like that. But do you realize that if they had a child, and the child is born here in America, and it's taught the American language, it speaks the American language. But the same couple could have a child, they could take the child from them over to Germany, and put that child into a family over there that spoke only German. The same American-born baby that was born from mom and daddy that spoke English, you know what it would speak when it growed up? It's an English-born baby. It was born from a mom and daddy that talked English, but it wouldn't speak English. It'd speak German, wouldn't it? Because that was the way it was trained to speak. When it said dog, they, you know what it, waffle or something, Brother Branham, one time I remember him saying dog. But like you say, Wiedersehen in German, that means goodbye. Alright, then you would speak that. I was kidding with a fellow one time. I said, well, when a fellow means dog in German, why don't he say dog? You know, like that. Because I was making us just the only one that knew what we was talking about, you know, and the rest of them, they'd say all kind of different things, call it a dog. But just think now. You were born in sin. Now, with that illustration of that baby seat you take over there, put it like we are. We were born in this civilization that we live in. Then we were taught. Now watch it go into the second stage and see where we need the cleansing from it. We were taught the doctrine. We were not taught this Bible in its understanding. God winked at their ignorance that honest-hearted people taught us Trinitarianism, eternal hells, all kind of things. And then we as Baptists used to laugh at the Catholics for believing in intercession of saints. when we had just as bad a doctrines as they had, if not worse. But see, what we're taught is our doctrine. You understand what I was driving at this morning now? And you see where that what's in us has got to come out of us. There's people in this, in this message that has been around it a long time. One man personally told me, he said, I don't really know where I understand one God or not. And he'd been around for quite a while. See, because we had been taught so long the other way. It would be the same thing. Now, what I'm talking about be the same thing is this is supposed to be your right hand. And somebody come along and say, well, we've been backwards all our life. That's really your left hand. See, it throws you haywire, don't it? There's so much confusion in our own natural languages of trying to understand each other that we ought to be able to see that it was caused by the doctrines that were brought. Now, as I said this morning at the finish of the service, that doctrine will come to a head one way or the other. Now, it will one day shortly head up in one of the two things. The prophet said they're both the churches are pregnated to give birth. And he said they will. He said the World Council of Church will give birth to the Antichrist. But he said the Word will give birth to Jesus Christ. So now, it'll be one of the two. There's not a 10 or a dozen or anything classes to fall in. It's one of the two. If we miss it, there will be no different class for us to qualify in the tribulation. It'll make us worse than it would be if we'd have never heard about it. All right, then don't try to find a class to fall into. Just take it's going to be up or down. Now, we've got a choice to make, and we make the choice then. See, then it's our doctrine. As we was talking today at the house about the rapture. See, why didn't Paul and them take the rapture? They didn't catch that mystery. They had so much control of their lives until they had their bodies under subjection to the Spirit. Till even, like I said the other day, Stephen take a translation and move from one place to another. But yet still he didn't have those seals and catch that revelation that would change that flesh. And you and I have got to catch that revelation. It's not to just become good people and be good and neighborly and kind to everybody and love everybody. We ought to do that to start with. We shouldn't even have no problems with that. It's not that this message was to take all of the problems that all of us has got and we'll just lump them all together and we'll all agree that we got problems and then we'll just all sit down and be happy and hold hands with one another and I'll boo-hoo over your problems and you boo-hoo over my problems. That's not the, my idea. That's not the message. The message is to change this man that I am. Well, then it would start out showing you the Antichrist. Then it would show you the second stage of false prophet. Then we would have to associate ourselves in those things because whether we like it or not, as I said this morning, we were a part of that system. And we still are. What's the difference in me and you and a Baptist tonight? A Methodist, a Presbyterian, or whatever. Oh, we believe the message. There's people in the Baptist and Methodist make people in this message lies of shame to themselves. Now you want to talk. Now you want to toot your horn that you're in the message. You want to holler and scream how that we're in the message. Over that statement, I'd like to see you do it. But see, what it is, we don't want to die. And we're going to have to do that. That was where we ended up this morning. For you and I to be changed, we're going to have to die. Well now, are we going to come this far and then turn back? Do you know that that's what the natural type done? And we'll see that in a minute when the prophet gets to it to show the fall away and the restoration. Do you know that in the natural type, that the children of Israel got to a place that they wanted to go back to the garlics and the cucumbers? Now, that's a pretty bad diet, ain't it? How many would like to quit eating what you eat tonight for supper or this morning and eat garlics and cucumbers? Now, I couldn't hardly eat that to start with. I love cucumbers, but garlic, now, I just couldn't cut that. But just think now, there the children of Israel were. They didn't have to do one thing for it. God rained down manna, which was little soft wafers. I bet it was the best, tasteliest little wafer you ever got in your mouth. They probably had all kind of ladies that knowed how to cook up different kind of recipes with them little wafers and serve them to the people. Roasted and toasted and boiled and everything else, I guess, because they eat them for 40 years. But for 40 years, now they didn't have to work for nothing. And God, they got to complaining one time about them wafers. They're eating them little wafers and they're getting along perfect. They've looked for a diet pill, you know. They've looked for a pill in America. I mean, the whole world's looking for one where they can have a little capsule and you just swallow that and, man, you take off for the whole day. You don't have to eat no more. You know, it's got all the vitamins in it. You don't get fat and all like that. And slow down, boy, just make a super race. Well, a lot of the children of Israel had that. But one day they complained. They said, we want some meat. And every day, God brought quail into the camp for them to eat. Now, Bud, what else could be any better? How many of you ever cooked a quail? How many of you ladies ever cooked a quail? It's got a big old white breast. And that's the biggest thing about it. There ain't much left. It's just a breast. The little old legs wouldn't be big enough for you to eat in it. But it's got a great big huge breast, and that's just, it's all white meat, really, the biggest portion. Now, they had the best eats in the world, and they said, we want the garlics and cucumbers that we used to have. And the scripture said that if they could have, they would have turned back into Egypt. I've heard people in this message talk about how good it was in Pentecost. Oh, it would be nice to get back to them days that we used to have. Are they wanting the garlics and the cucumbers? See, then all of that doctrine now comes down to where me and you are standing here facing death, and we've got to die to ourselves. And that's what the seal covers. You say, how do you know that's what the seal covers? Because that's what the prophet covers. So now let's just pick it up. All of us know what happened in Genesis and the fall of the way of the church, you know, and how, I mean, the back in Genesis. Now, let's just pick it up. You'll have to go to pick it up, as I said now. He always uses one to background the next one. So really, to get the thought, you go over to the background. Now, here as he's ending up the second seal, he ends that seal up with showing that there would be a rise in power, that it would rise coming forth from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it would be a rise in power of the Word. Now let's go back and see that Word go down, see what the Old Testament done with it. I mean, reading it right out of the seal book of what he's covering, because that's what he's covering it for. And then see the church go down and fall away and rise back in power. Let's just see if he'll do that. So you go to the third seal for a background of the second seal, and watch what he starts off with. Now, this is before he ever gets to. He says he could give you a background to kind of lap it over. That's on 232. Then get us down right at the bottom of 240. This will be 240, 241, 242, 243, and 244 in this part of the reading. And just watch now. I'll just jump down the pages and pick up some of the highlights, and you read it yourself when you get home. He covers, says, now I want to give you a, it's always the natural and the spiritual, and for the church's sake, I want to type just before we get to the opening of this seal, which he gave me. Now this type will tie these two seals together, if you'll watch it. It'll tie the second and the third seal together. Because he always done that. But he's referring to the second seal, because he says that the church will rise in power. He said, I want to give you a type of the church and make it so plain that you'll be bound to see it. He starts referring to Adam and Eve, how that they were sweethearts in the Garden of Eden. That Eve was not his wife. He had not known her as wife yet. But that she was put behind the Word. Her and Adam were standing behind that Word, fortified. And he says, now if you'd want to fortify anything, said if it's like my own children, set a big concrete wall, you know, 90 foot wide or something, to put it around my children, and then 50 stories high for a wall, see, to cover them. But he said God put his behind the best thing he could put them behind. He said he fortified behind them behind the Word. Eve stepped out from that Word as she was strolling in the garden, running into this great shrewd beast that began to talk to her and tell her, so now wasn't you made for that purpose, you know, and all the things. Eve began to let down that bar. And as she began to let it down, it was just one little phase that she let down, he said. You shall not surely die. But now watch. But God, full of mercy, 242, made a way to redeem that woman. And now he promised her, telling her that sometime in the future, the true word would come to her again. The true word would be made known to her. Now remember that, because he promised Christ through the woman, and Christ is the Word. Now you jump over to the next page, he says, now we notice that God told Eve that after so long a time, the Word is coming back to you. Now how did she fall? I want my class to see. What did she fall from? What did Eve fall from? The Word. Is that right? The Word. God said he would make a way to redeem her back to the Word again. Alright, so after so long a time, the Word would be known to her. Now, the prophet's not just playing. He's telling you a background of the second seal to go into the third, and he's telling you what the second seal background is. He's telling you what the seal would cover in the redemption then that would be showed under that seal. Now watch him as the redemption. So hold tight now to what I'm saying. The Word would come to her for one purpose. That was for redemption. Now I ain't tell you what the seal's end is covered. All right, but until then she had a substitute that would work until the time arrived for the original Word. Now do you understand clearly? What was the substitute in the Old Testament that was given to Israel as a substitute? Now, that type of substitute doesn't mean dog substituted for cat. It was a lamb that was a substitute. Now, I'll read it in a minute, but I want you to think about it, because this is the seal part that I want you to see from the second seal. That lamb was a substitute. Because she'd got away from the Word. Until the real Word, which was Jesus Christ, would come, God gave man a substitute Word. So it was partial realization compared to the perfect realization that would come and be God in human flesh. The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So now see, your seal then is covering redemption for you. If we saw over here that it ends up like the other, showing that there will be a rise of power from that Word being revealed, then we'll see it fall down with that seal and come right back. That seal shows that. The redemption seal. Because it shows you how it'll come in power. Now watch what he says. He told her that the Word would come to her again. But until that time, he gave her a substitute until that time arrived. So he gave her an offering to make, a substitute for that blood. Now the blood was of bulls and sheep, goats and things, but it didn't take away her sin. It only covered her sin. It didn't take it away at all. It covered it, for it was an animal's blood. And an animal's blood is animal life. It was a substitute until the real. Now get your coats on. The human blood, as a human being, would be become incarnate. God without sex, virgin, the virgin birth produced that. Now God's word promised, became blood, and was incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior. The blood of bulls and goats and so forth. But now wait, here God made the promise, saying it would be there when it come. Her seed would bruise the serpent's heel. Now if her seed come just like Adam or like it had been from the serpent and so forth, then it still be sinful seed. He said, that's why. Now watch. He said, that's why John was weeping when he saw no hopes. Now the blood of sheep and goats covered sin but didn't get rid of it. For it was an animal's blood. It was to be all right, was to be a substitute. And they sure got used to that substitute. And so they just kept on. And when the real promised word was made manifest in Jesus Christ, who proved to be the Son of the great Creator, God, and was vindicated himself by the living word of God, he proved that he could speak things into existence. Now watch what he's saying about it. Eve was promised, 2:45, that the word would come to her again. Now, if you'll read those things, read what I give you, the pages are all the way through, and watch it, then you'll see that substitute. Don't worry about the bug that gets on me. Just worry about what I'm saying. I know it's hard for people to do things like that, but we'll get rid of him one way or the other. If we have to, something let the bugs in today. I believe the devil is kind of ill tonight, and he don't want this message out, but we'll get it out if I have to fight bugs all night. So just you pray for me and pray for the bugs. I ain't got nothing against them. I just like for them to leave the building. I don't have no problems with them. They'll just leave me alone. But now just think. He said they got used to a substitute. Now when the real word came, talking about Israel now, you know, in the Old Testament, he said when the real word came, the real lamb, see, came. Now some of those Israelites accepted Jesus Christ. But the majority rejected him. And why did they reject him? Because they didn't believe that he was the Lamb. Now, they didn't accept him as that. If they had accepted him as the Lamb, they wouldn't have been a substitute. See, the real Lamb was standing there. But for them, until Jesus came, that substitute was right. Now he said, I'm giving you the natural church to type the spiritual. So we ought to see then that what would happen in our day. And then I'll read here what did happen in our day exactly the same way, because he gives it again. He said, I want you to see it. Alright, then that natural lamb substitute, they had got used to it. And they didn't want to give up that substitute. And Jesus stood there and John said, behold the Lamb of God, behold the substitute that you have spoken. That's the speaking of this in here, standing here now. Your substitute that you've made every year killing the Lamb, that's just speaking of Jesus Christ. And here he stands. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And what happened to the people? Now watch it and see if it won't repeat identically the same way in the end time. What happened to the main portion of the church system then? We want our substitute. Now, if that ain't becoming one with your doctrine, I don't know how much plainer a prophet could tell you what a seal is. Now, the seal is the Holy Spirit, but you got to see that, and then the Holy Spirit will be what will break that power that would make a person. Every one of us was that way. Every one of us was bound with doctrine. Our doctrine now is what's holding us down. Oh, why don't you get rid of it? Because the revealed word has to tell us what it is. Well, why don't you just go to the word and get rid of it then? Well, why didn't you go to the word before the prophet ever come to get rid of your marriage and divorce situation? Oh, that put it in a different situation then. Because then you'd have to admit you didn't know what you were talking about back then. See, it takes the revealed word. That's one of the mysteries under the seals, that it takes the revealed word. That is the mystery itself. It'll take the revealed word because it is the mystery of redemption. This seal book wasn't preached to tell us about the devil. It was preached to tell us about Jesus Christ. The entire book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not just some kind of a something thrown out there. Now watch the substitute again. And watch him as he starts on 245, 246, and then about 249, 250 is basically what I'll be reading from. But it'll go through about 256 somewhere in there if you'll just read those pages. When he gets through speaking of that, he said, now maybe you don't get it. So he just got through giving you the example of it, of how they got used to a substitute and they wanted to keep it when the real blood came. You know, the word. Let me go over it again. I want you to get this. She was promised, the bride, Eve, to be a redeemer. A redeemer would be the Word. When the Word came, made flesh, she rejected it. She was given substitutes, a whore of substitutes. Given substitutes to go on until the Redeemer come. And when the Redeemer come, she wanted to continue with her substitutes and rejected the true Word. Now he's telling you over again the story that he told. But in the first story that he told, he kept it basically to the Old Testament. Watch him now. And that was the Hebrew bride. So did he by the second Eve bride, the mother of all spiritual living. Now he's coming to the New Testament. See, Eve means the mother of all that is living. Eve, mother of all that's living. When he came to the Hebrew bride, she was the mother of all that was living, but she rejected it. Naturally, Eve fell in Eden by listening to Satan's reason against God's word. That is how she failed. All right, sir. She failed because she did that. Spiritual Eve. Now that's the church, Christ's bride. She fell not in Eden, but in Rome. Now who's he talking about? Picking it up to the New Testament now. At the Nicene Council, when she rejected that Pentecostal church that went down to Nicaea and listening to Romans reasoning instead of holding on to the word, she fell and everything away from her died with her around her. Now you're getting to seeing the doctrine. See, from the seal. Now just as natural Eve failed, spiritual Eve failed. God's bride fell in the garden. Christ's bride fell in Rome, notice, by the same reasoning against God's word. She also forfeited her rights of virtue, to Satan, which we found in the breaking of those seals that was Satan and still is Satan there. The Bible said it's the very seed of Satan. And as Eve forfeited her virtuous rights and gave them over to Satan in the Garden of Eden, the church, the bride of Christ, did the same thing at Rome, when she forfeited the Bible for their dogmas and reasoning. See that type? You just run those types, you are bound to come out right. Now do you see the types? But he goes on down to the bottom of the page, says God has promised this church, this Pentecostal church, knowing that she'd do it, God promised this church. What's he promised? God promised, this is 249, promised the spiritual Eve, the same as he did the natural Eve, that again the word would be restored to her. In the last days he would restore to the church, to the original word again. Now watch real close. I want you to be sure now. God promised Eve the time would come when the word would be restored to her by seed. This word itself would become seed. When they give her a substitute, she held that substitute. Now he's talking about natural Eve now. And when the word come to her, what did she do? I don't want it. It was too humble. Didn't look right to her. It wasn't polished enough. a stable. Oh my, a guy like that, not in a school. Why, I couldn't accept that. That's no Messiah. They took dogmas instead of the Word and rejected the Word when it stood there. Now watch it again in the end time. But now when the Word came to her, it was exactly the way God said it would come. She had it figured out some other way. I'm talking about the bride. The Jewish bride, the Hebrew bride, that was Eve to begin with. Then when it come out here, she didn't want it. She wanted to stay with her substitute. Now God promised spiritual Eve at Pentecost, told her even before it happened. Now watch your scripture now. 400 years before the church ever failed, that they would fall away and they would do what they have done, but he promised in the last days he'd send the word again. What was 400 years before Pentecost? Malachi 4. 400 years before Jesus came was what? Malachi. So God promised spiritual Eve, told her even before it happened, he said. 400 years before the church ever failed, that there'd be a restoration of the Word. Jesus spoke the same thing when he was on earth. He would send it again, and what will it find? It will find the same thing it found when it come first. Right? They want their substitutes. They want their denominations. They want their creeds. They want to live just the way that they want to. And they won't say, well, I'm so-and-so. I belong to so-and-so. It doesn't make any difference what God is doing and how much he manifests himself. He could raise the dead. He could tell the secrets of the heart. He could do anything that the Bible said he would do. That doesn't make a bit of difference if it ain't connected with their organization. There is nothing to it. Now, if that ain't exactly the way the people stand now. Now, ain't that exactly the position we stand in now? It is the same thing that the Hebrew bride did. That's right. They listened to their substitute, and God promised them the real. And when the real come, they didn't want it. It was too humble. Now it is the same thing today when it rises on the scene. Now if God said in Malachi 4 he would send the message in the last days, it would restore. Joel said, I will restore all the years, everything that Rome made up, everything the Methodists ate, and everything the Baptists ate, and the original Pentecostal branch, God said, I'll restore in the last days. Now think about it. What is the seal then showing us? It's showing us that we, you see why I've kept laying on it? Let's don't just look at the seal that's showing the Antichrist or the Pope as a false prophet. Where is there a mystery of redemption there for us? But if we can see why we fell away and the restoration, then we have the mystery. Alright? Now just think about it then. They had, now what kind of a substitute? Watch this now. What did the first bride have as a substitute? As I said, talking about Israel now, that it wasn't a dog substituted for a cat. It was a lamb that God gave until the time that he would bring it into its fullness and be the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. All right, now that was the substitute. What made that wrong? What would make that wrong today? Pretty good substitute. As a matter of fact, a man stood under it one time and looked up and said, Son, stand still. Moon, you hang over there. And it was done. One man stood under that substitute and said, let there be flies, fleas, frogs. A man stood under it one time, I remember there, one time thinking about it, that how that Jesus multiplied the food. Elisha one time, they brought a group of people in, there's too many of them, and they come in, they said, we ain't got enough food. He said, set it down because there'll be enough. And there was enough to feed the crowd, and he took up some. Under the blood of bulls and goats, a substitute. But now that was partial realization compared with perfect. But what made that false then? What would make that wrong today to believe in to substitute the lamb, you know, the like that? Because the real had come upon the scene. What that spoke of come up on the scene. Then if you went on after that real thing come on the scene with that, it made you a prostitute to the Word. And God put Israel away for that. You see what the background is? Now he's talking about the background of the second seal that would show you the rise in power of the Word, and he showed you the natural Israel. Then he shows us the spiritual Israel, the bride. How that she started off with the original Word. Then it began to dwindle away, and Satan under that second stage that we're studying under the second seal as the crowned false prophet began to kill everything in his way, and he took the church down to the place that it was just barely nothing, just a stump left. But Joel 2, I meant to read that, and I had it in my notes. Joel 2 said, I will restore the years of the locust, the canker worm, the pommel worm, the caterpillar. He would make a restoration. All right, then we see Luther come out. Luther preached a message called The Just Shall Live by Faith. He went all over the world, and I mean the known parts of that time, and this become a great revival in those days. Great power of the Holy Spirit working among that church. And you know what they were under? A substitute. Now, I know that don't go over too good with some people. I know that. But I can't help it. That's what he's teaching there. Because when you get down and study that part as a foundation for the next, you'll see he's talking about the substitute. The spiritual Israel. She got so used to that dogma that when Luther walked out there, the rest of them wouldn't have it. And they rejected it. But now just think, Luther just had one word. Israel was given from the fall in Genesis a substitute animal, blood. Luther was given part of the Word. Now listen, the just shall live by faith. That was the pure unadulterated Word. But compare that with where the prophet was standing in our day. That was just partial realization compared with perfect. The lamb that Israel slain every year was partial realization, comparing it with the perfect realization. But where the wrong is today, now is what is the reason that showing that far is the doctrinal side. What's wrong today is for you and me to hold that substitute. When the Word is here, I'm not looking for the coming of the Lord. Oh, the Lord's a coming to us one day. Brother Branham was screaming out. He said, I'm like Paul Revere. I ain't saying the Lord is coming, the Lord is coming. He said, I'm saying He's here. Well, see, if we can get it right, but where our trouble is, we want the substitute. We want to go back to the days of the good times in the Pentecost. We want to go back to the time the prophet was even here. But now listen, where would you put that in the Scripture to go back to even to the time that Brother Branham was here preaching these seals in 1963? You mean God was more powerful there? Now think about it. Was he more powerful there in 1963 when the prophet was preaching the seals are here in the in our day when he's revealing it to me and you, which one would be the most powerful? Where does everybody want to go? They want to go back to where he was at. Oh, if Brother Branham was just here, and there's literally no telling how many people in this message looking for him to return and preach a message. They don't have no scripture, no prophet's word, or nothing for it, but they're looking for it because they can't believe that God is here now. Well, now let me ask you a question. Which would have been better? The Lord Jesus to have stayed with Peter or for him to have been crucified? Which would you rather have? Which would you rather have tonight? Now, I'll just ask you the question. Had you rather have the Lord Jesus as your own personal bodyguard that would be with you the rest of your life and walk by your side and supply every need from a brand new Cadillac every other day to a great beautiful $100 million home to live in? Or anything that you would need of health, wealth, and welfare? Had you rather have him there with you now or crucified? Now, which do you rather have? I'd rather have him crucified. You know why? You remember the message Brother Woodby preached here back a good bit ago on that? Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. But if I go away, I'll come and be with you and in you. Now, which is the greatest? With that example in mind, which would be the greatest? For Brother Branham to be, for us to go back and live a million years in 1963 as he was preaching these seals, or to be here in 1982 in a small group of people that's trying to believe the word? I'll stay here. You can go back if you'd like. I'll stay here. You know why? Because we're over here at the revealing of it. You that were sitting there know that you didn't understand what he said when he preached the seals in 1963. Now, Brother Tatum's shaking his head and nodding as a yes to that because he was sitting there. He was in the message, believing Brother Ryan's message, getting the tapes and going to Jeffersonville, and they sang on the sixth seal, "If I Were You, I'd Make a Change." He and Brother Moat and Brother Canada, Brother George and Brother Mike Canada sang on the sixth seal at the tabernacle when Brother Ryan was preaching this message. But they know that they don't understand or didn't understand then what he was saying compared with what they understand now about what he has said. Well, now, who would want to go back then? You see, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, they had the new birth for their age. They had the word for their age. But comparing that with where we're standing now, they only had a substitute until the time would come. They were in the restoration. They will be in the rapture. But comparing that with where the word is today was only a substitutionary. But now where our wrong would be today would be just like Israel was, that when the real word came and stood there in human flesh, they wanted to stay with their substitutes. So is it today with the people of this message. That after it's come down to this hour, they want to stay with their substitutes. When the full word is here, the Lord is not coming, He's already here. That's the message. If you could ever, if you ever asked me any question about the headstone and what would be the message of the headstone, when the headstone comes to the church, it could not say nothing no different than what the cornerstone had already said. Now, where would you get it at if it did? Where would you get the word for it? Like everybody wants to go to the seventh seal and then go outside the Bible somewhere to get it. I'm showing you, if you're catching it, that each seal ends on the seventh seal. It ended the first seal when we saw the white horse rider ride all the way out that way. Then we took the church and showed our iniquity went all the way out that way and would finally come to an end. And we'd go into rapture. Now we showed this morning and last week how the second stage of it rides all the way out there and comes to an end because he's destroyed in the lake of fire. Then here we're picking up the spiritual side to show the church the word has to raise in power. And before Jesus could have, now watch, before Jesus could have the word in those two prophets standing in the tribulation calling that down, it's got to come from what me and you get. All right, then the word will have to be restored to me and you then. That word will have to be restored. And everybody's looking for this and looking for that. They're driving straws and trying to do everything to get out of here now. But the word will tell us how. But let's don't be like spiritual Eve now. In our time, in other words, let's don't be like the early church and fall away. We've got the word. Brother Brown said that time went on, see, they'll organize this message into Laodicea, and that's what they've done. Now, where's the church at? Where's the restoration of the word? Oh, Brother Dale, we've got the Word. What are you looking for, a restoration of the Word? Oh, we've had that a long time. I'll tell you something else I'm looking for. Where's the people's revival? The prophet said we've had denominational revival. The bride hasn't had one yet, he said. Now, where would that fit at, then? Let's just see if we can pick that up. Maybe we'll have to drop off some of the others. But just watch 252 and 253 as he comes down to it. Notice now, here we are at the end time. And spiritual Eve, just as Hebrew Eve was promised, the Hebrew bride was promised the word to return, and the spiritual bride from Pentecost, when she fell at Nicaea, then she's promised in the last days that the word will come again. Now you say, if you want another scripture, take over here Revelations 10, and said in the hour that the time of the last angel, seventh messenger, begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. The restoration back to the word. The Bible said that this messenger of the last days would be restore them back to the original faith again, back to the faith of the fathers. But do you think they will receive it? No, sir. In the last days, he would restore the original word again, as he said in Malachi 4, that she had forfeited it. Now she forfeited that word at Nicaea. Eve forfeited it in Eden. Eve rejected hers at Calvary, and the Nicaea group is rejecting it in their last days just the same. My, but when the Word came in human flesh, she, Eve, the Hebrew church, mother of all spiritual living as then, she rejected it. She was so dead in her tradition and dogma that she missed it. So is this one. Exactly, he says. All right, they missed him. Now watch. The living Word manifested in the flesh by the Word that is promised. The Word promised to do these things. The Word was made, and it will be like this in the last days. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now watch what he gets over here too. 2:53. She held her traditions to the substitute instead of the, she held to the substitute blood instead of the real blood. Now, the Lord willing, the next sermon will be on the blood, if we can get it in the right place, to where I can get it to have an understanding of it. I mean, how to present it. I don't mean of it. I already see what I want to preach. But Jesus, the manifested word, said to the bride, Hebrew bride, because you hold to your traditions, you make the word of God without any effect to you. It can't be effective. Now, what is the reason today? Listen now. This is 2:53. It would bear to write this down. Hang on to it. Now, what is the reason today that the revivals that we're supposed to have? We have denominational revivals. Now, brother, you can argue with him. He said he had been in 15 years in one revival. And he said the early Pentecostal church had a great revival. But listen, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, sir. Don't think that we have got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. I'm reading from him. You claim to believe him. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There has been no revival there, no manifestation of God to stir the bride yet. See, we're looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it, he promised, and she was dead. What then is the revival that we're looking for linked to? The seven unknown thunders. What's the thunder? The revelation contained in the seals. Then the seal would be the showing the seventh seal, where the thunders is showed at under the seventh seal. That seal shows an end to each seal, so as each seal ends, you pick up a thunder. I don't mean it's got an end to pick it up. I mean that seal, when it sounds, you get the thunders, the voice of God that tells you what the seal is, and then you see it come to an end. And that's the revival. He said it'd take those seven unknown thunders to wake that church up. Wake her up from what? What would it take the seven unknown thunders to wake her up for? Boy, everybody's on fire then. You was there, wouldn't you, Brother Tatum? They was on fire long about 63, wouldn't you? He said they hadn't had no revival. And it'd take them seven unknown thunders to wake her up. Well then, that means that when those seals is revealed, it brings a revival. You know, we've always thought about revivals, and the Baptist, we had 2 a year. You know, spring and fall revivals. You remember them? And your basic emphasis was placed on getting souls saved. But that's not a revival. A revival is for them that are already saved. How could you revive something unless it had previously been alive? Is that true? I mean, to revive something, it's got to previously be alive before you can revive it. So we looked at the revival as getting souls in to get the... No, you get the church right and the souls are saved. Souls come to the altar because the church is right. Then it would take the seven unknown thunders to wake the church up, not the sinner. Then in those thunders to the church, they will be people saved. Because Brother Branham one time, he said, I don't know how many will be saved in that last moment to rapture the church. He connected the salvation of a small group right at the end, just like that, is connected with going up. Now what that means, I don't know. How long it would be before the rapture, I don't know. What he does to take them in the rapture, I don't know, but that's what he said. Maybe when they come in, it's like it was on the day of Pentecost. It took a long time to plant the word in them, but when they come in, boy, just like that, and they had a manifested son standing there. And then it could be shorter on teaching the others how to come that way. Maybe the church will come down to a place that she's standing there with the word, pure, unadulterated, right down the line, and then when somebody comes in, they can just hand the word to them, they can grow in a hurry. Some of you that were around the message years ago know that you'd get a take, you'd hear Brother Branham say something. I remember Brother Moat saying one time that he heard them and Brother Tatum and them heard a message where Brother Branham was talking about Adam going out of the Garden of Eden and Eve going out, you know, and walking away. And it just looked like there was just no hopes for them because of the way he preached it on that message. But said then they finally got another tape sometime later that Brother Branham said, but when Adam and Eve left the garden, they had a lamb. Well, see, that got them off the hook, as the old saying goes. But now you have the tapes and the books and the things in our possession that we don't have to wait until another one comes out. We can be led to listen to a tape and get the answer right off of it. Man can stand in the pulpit now and preach the message to you because he's got a background of it. Well, the prophet said then them seven unknown thunders would wake the church up. Awake her from what? Awake her from her dead creeds. You couldn't say when he said now she was dead, he'd just give you the example of what the church was. How did it come down with substitutes until the real came? But when the real came, a lot of people wanted to stay with their substitutes. Luther and Wesley and Pentecost and all was fine for their day, but now try to stay there. Just a substitute. Won't work. You got to walk with the Word. You got to move where the Word says. Because you're promised a restoration. Now, I read that to you on 222 and 246. How did he promise the restoration? Let me just read two or three here and then we'll just close it out. Because if you can't see what we're talking about, then we'll pick it up again. I watch you, and if you're catching on the way I'm trying to preach and not getting a rebound, I move on to the foot. If you don't, I just back up and preach this message again. Don't bother me and none. I have to watch that to see what's going on. Maybe you ain't catching what I'm doing, but I watch the people and try to pick it up. Maybe I'll go over here a while and come back and pick it up and go over here a while. Just keep on going till we get it, because we got to get it. We say, well, boy, we just about run out. Well, no, we ain't run out. We just about started. That's the biggest problem. We think we run out when we ain't. We just started. You give me one message. You show me one tape that Brother Branham was ever as negative as we've been all these years, and I'll eat the whole tape. Now, he always believed God was with him. It didn't make no difference where he was at or what he was doing. It doesn't matter how many friends had left him or how many loved ones had walked away from him. And look at him in the early ministry, millions that was walking with him following the message when he sent 750,000 to one church over there. But down in the end, where was he at? He had just a few churches he could go into in the end and preach. Just a very few. A man with that great of a gift. That he could tell you your name, telephone number, age, and what was wrong with you, and everything in the world, and just stand there and talk to you and tell you that. A man that God would reveal those great mysteries to, that he could preach the way that he preached. But then where was he left? That was why they left him. His doctrine. They killed his influence. Just like one man over there, Brother Randy, got a letter from Africa one time and says, we don't want you over here. He got to checking into it and come to find out it was that one man. Everybody else over there was laying in the streets. They said praying for God to send Brother Branham back to Africa. And one man rode in and said, we don't want you over here. He said, I come to find out it was we, him and his people with him, his spirit, in other words. There's plenty out there across the land crying for the word. but they've cut off the truth. They've killed it to where you can't go preach it. I went and preached years ago and just read from what Brother Branham said, and you know it right here at the church. I just read from what he said. He said, this is my revelation. I went and preached that here at the church, and a man heard about it. I used to go preach to his church almost 2 and 3 times a year, and he's calling me continually to come preach for him. You know, he hadn't called me to nothing since then. I think I've preached one time since then that I happened to be over there, and he wanted me to preach. And then I got where when I went over, I just didn't preach. I just went over there to visit. Because he didn't want to hear it. Because you know why? Because I said, this is my revelation. Well, boy, we ain't got no revelation. Well, if we ain't got no revelation, we're lost. There's no hope for us. We ain't got no revelation. But see, because of my doctrine, I cut myself off. I cut off that channel because of my doctrine. I just told him what I believe. Well, now listen. If you're left standing by yourself with your doctrine, and it's right, just stand there and don't worry about it. Because God will back it up. Now, he's promised he would. And if he's not, he's a liar. And you ain't worried about calling him one, because he's not the author of lies. But there's a lot of spirits among all of us that are liars. Those things has to go. But now just watch him just for a minute. Now watch this. This is back on the second seal to show you that it is on the second seal that he covers these things. The other was the foundation for the third. Watch him now as he picks it up, the promise now. Page 202. But promised, he's covering the Antichrist and the false prophet and the thing. Says, but promised that in the last days he would make a way to restore again. The word of God would drop upon the earth as it did in the beginning and will restore back what? What started it? Against the word. And what is this fellow supposed to do when he comes anointed with God's Spirit? He just brings the faith of the children back to the fathers. 203. Just after he got through covering the incarnate devil and Judas Iscariot and how that he was the incarnate devil. And Christ was the incarnate God, God incarnate in flesh, Emmanuel. Judas was the son of perdition, as Jesus was the son of God. Incarnate God, incarnate devil. Now watch it as he picks it back up. 204. He was incarnate himself from Antichrist to false prophet. Now, and in the days of the Jews is Antichrist amongst the early church. In the dark ages, he becomes a false prophet to the world. Here is the cup of iniquity, and that is to the church age. Now, but in the age after the church goes home, he becomes a beast. He becomes the devil incarnate, the red dragon himself. Oh my, can't you see what I mean? He is incarnate in his people then. He has his people bound by his power. The false prophet has prophesied them right into it, give them over to strong delusion, to believe a lie and be down by it, denying the word with the form of godliness. God works his place in the Trinity, justification, sanctification, and incarnated himself in his people with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The same thing. The devil is just in a type after Christ. Old Satan incarnates himself. When Jesus incarnates himself in his people, the very life that was in Christ is in his people. Then he talks about how that you can take a life out of a grapevine, put it in a pumpkin. Incarnate in his people. Now you're getting down to the end part of it. Satan incarnates himself and his subjects, but God incarnates himself. Now let's just take one more. 161. If Joyce will get ready to come and play for us. And when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that is in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we will crown him King of Kings. That's right. When it becomes incarnate in us, the seal then reveals how the Word rises in power and will destroy the enemy. Now watch it. We don't go over there to the destruction, so it shows the destruction of the enemy in us. Now I'll end right there with that thought. That seal will show the end. And if we can pick it up under the blood and the things that it shows under there, because the natural side of the seal shows the blood, you know, the killing 68 million. But it shows the Word will raise in power to destroy the enemy that is in us. The seal shows that we must die out to ourselves and take the Word. They that take the sword shall die by it. You and I took. In the garden, Eve took the sword, and she had to die, physically speaking. If we take the Word contrary, we die spiritually speaking. So you just think about it now. That seal reveals an end to the, you know, the false prophet and his going out in destruction. Shows him incarnate. What does the seal show us? The Word becomes incarnate in us. Incarnate so much until it will destroy the enemy. Where's that enemy? We don't go over to tribulation period. We don't see the destruction of that enemy there, do we? Then where's the enemy? The enemy's in us. The enemy's in me and you. We're the one that's stopping it. What's wrong with this church? What's wrong with the people? How they went back to their substitutes? Because that's what the prophet said he'd do. How they went back to the place that they want their substitutes instead of the Word. Listen, I want you in the Word, whatever it costs me. It's cost me a lot in my life, but it's been worth every minute of it. You don't understand what the untold hours of agony that it's put me through to try to get you to believe the Word. And I don't regret not one minute. I love it. I'll stand until the last breath is in me to try to get you to see the Word. I don't care what it costs me, because I want you to get the Word. Without the Word, we don't have no hopes. Without Jesus Christ, there's no hope. If you're not born again tonight, there's no hope for you. It's all right. Let's stand together. There's not a bit of hope in this world for any of us without Jesus Christ. If I know anything about Christ, I know that He's here. And I know that He's dealing with somebody here tonight. Don't turn Him away. Don't stay with your substitute. Don't stay with your little baby ideas that I joined the church one day and shook hands with the preacher. And I accepted Jesus Christ. I was baptized in His name. I've really stayed with the Lord. I've done all that the Word says. If you don't know Him personally, then you've got a problem. I've tried my best to be honest with you and sincere with you. trying to tell you what the Word is. And I believe the Word. Don't you? I believe the Word will rise in power in each one of us. First, it's got to destroy the enemy. And that enemy's in us. I'm my enemy. Brother Branham said, my problem is me. He didn't never place his problem on anybody else. He always said, I'm my problem. That's where man sees never know that. Paul caught a glimpse of it and had a struggle in himself and said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this? But he then went on to say, but we have the victory through Jesus Christ. Well, listen, church, we've got the victory over death, over sin, over the grave, in the birth, yes. But we want the victory over death to this natural man. What is it then? It's power in the blood. Let's try to sing that then. If anyone has a need, what is it? 283, let's sing this. If anyone has a need, the altar's open. Don't let the chains pass away from you. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power.